Well, good morning. My granddaughter Kyla just ran over to me and wanted to sit with me, and I said, well, I've got to go preach. And she said, well, can I come too? I would invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, this is a very familiar passage in the Sermon on the Mount. You may remember the parallel passage to it, which is almost identical, is Luke 12. Although there the Lord adds a couple of marvelous statements in Luke 12 that aren't in Matthew 6, but basically they're parallel. I want to speak to you this morning, to all of us, on the subject of anxiety, overcoming anxiety. Do you ever, like me, sometimes wake up anxious? Isn't it quite a thing? You can have a good night, sleep good, and wake up anxious. How is this? I don't understand that at all. But we are called by our Lord to face and deal with and overcome anxiety. You put whatever word on it you want to: worry, fear, stress. It boils down to the same thing. So let's read Matthew 6, beginning with verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought, that is, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Answer is yes. Behold the birds, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better, that is, of much more value than they? Which of you, by taking thought or by being anxious, can add one cubit unto his stature? Or some translations say 1 hour to his span of life. And why take ye thought? Why are you anxious about clothing, raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What will we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, that is, all the nations of the world, that's what they're seeking after. For your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought, that is, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought, or be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, some passages in the Bible are unclear and difficult to understand. I find that's true. I tried to get Don Johnson last time I was at Batesville to tutor me through the book of Revelation. He knows it and I don't, and he wouldn't do it. He wants me to get it from God. So there's difficulty in there with places in Scripture. difficult to understand, but this one is not difficult to understand. It's just hard to believe for ourselves sometimes. Anxiety is obviously what the Lord is really addressing here. There's no question about it. He uses the word here 6 times in 5 verses. It's quite amazing. In Luke 12, which we won't read, and I'll mention, 5 times it's used. 3 different words over there, though. Anxious, worry, and fear. And we could use any of those. We'll use maybe all 3 of them. But the Lord is really speaking personally and individually to you and I, right into the most private, personal areas of our hearts and lives and our existence. Do not be anxious. Why are you anxious? Why are you afraid? By being anxious, what can that add to your life? So the question arises, why do true believers worry? Why do we get anxious? It's quite a thing. If the Lord asked that question, we ought to hear Him. We ought to really hear Him. I mean, why do true believers get anxious? Every true believer has faith resident within. It comes with salvation. It's part of the package. And yet, why do we battle anxiety or fear or worry? Because the new birth, we know, don't we? The new birth introduces us into a life, a lifestyle of persevering faith. And all the way to life's end. So, why anxiety? If the Lord said here, don't be anxious, why are you anxious? We really need to hear Him on this. Every day of our life. I told someone this week, I said, you know, unlike maybe temptation to steal something or, you know, moral failures, I said, could it be that anxiety or fear or worry is the most frequent sin we get attacked with? To worry. Why? Because there's everything about life tends to want to get us to go there. Everything about it. Now, before we really begin to look at the passage, let's ask this question. It's an important one. Are Jesus' words here to be taken literally? Now, think deeper about it. Let's think about it. Are they to be taken at face value? Are there some hidden, is there a hidden spiritual symbolism deeper in there that we're supposed to get? In other words, did He mean this literally? This is really vital for all of us to settle. You know, because remember, some things He said aren't to be taken literal, right? Is that right? If your eye offends you, if your hand offends you, who are my brothers and my mother? I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. Wisdom, He said, is justified by her children. So we know that there are things that the Lord literally was giving deeper truth in His words. They weren't exactly literal. But how about this saying, do not be anxious. Literal or symbolic? Well, if we take it symbolically, that it means something else, deeper, that's hidden, then, you know, I believe the Lord would feel like a parent if a parent said to their son, Billy, I want you to, tomorrow morning, to take out all the trash. Take out every bit of it. And so, that parent comes home tomorrow night and there's all the trash sitting where it was. And so, there's a meeting. Son, why didn't you do what I said? Why didn't you take out the trash? Oh, I'm sorry. I decided you probably meant that you wanted me to devote my future to eliminating all the world's unclean moral and social ills. Well, that parent might say, read my lips. Those trash bags, take them out. Well, why don't we read Jesus' lips here? He said, do not be anxious. He means it. Which leads us right into seeing and hearing what the Lord has to say to us in this passage. Let's now look at Matthew 6 and let's just see what the Lord says about this. What about anxiety? Well, first of all, He tells us that it's prohibited. That means it's not allowed. He says, notice, regarding worry, He tells us not to do it. Verse 25, do not be anxious. Verse 31, do not be anxious. 34, do not be anxious. In Luke 12, it says it three times, but it says the words there, don't be anxious, don't be worried, and don't fear. Now, all through the Bible, this prohibition to anxiety and fear and worry is given. Isaiah agreed with this divine prohibition in chapter 35, verse 4. The prophet said, say to those who have an anxious heart, fear not. He said that. And Paul agreed with Isaiah and the Lord Jesus when he gives anxiety just a complete rejection. Philippians 4, 6, what does it say? Be anxious for, don't fear or give in to worry or anxiety about anything. Anything whatsoever. The Lord begins here, as Dr. LaCour says, the bottom line is, don't worry. Now, we want to excuse it. We often rationalize it. We justify it. My mother, my guardian mother who raised me, her, you know, she died when she was 91, 5 years ago. Her generation seemed to believe it was a God-given calling to worry. You know, you're disposed to. And yet, if we're not to steal, and if we're not to lie, and we're not to commit sexual sin, and we're not to blaspheme, just as much we are not to worry. This is a new covenant commandment of our Lord to not give in to anxiety. And if it's prohibited here, which He says it is clearly at the beginning, then anxiety is wrong. It is unlawful. It is never the will of God for any child of God to be anxious. I mean, if we take what the Lord said, He meant it. Don't be anxious. Think about it. Do we ever read in the Gospel, do we ever see our Lord Jesus Christ being anxious? And we see Him under great stress. We see Him in great agony in the garden. But did He ever give in to anxiety and fear and worry? No. He never exemplified that. And nothing He ever taught was meant to produce anxiety in His children, rather to decrease it and eliminate it. Every word and every action of His was meant to eliminate this evil thing of worry and anxiety and fear. The attitude of the Lord Jesus seems to be about anxiety, out, gone, banished, evicted, rejected, cast it out. He treats it as an illegal immigrant in the soil of any Christian's heart. It is sin. If it's prohibited, it's sin. No excuses allowed, no reasons left for it, no justification for it, no place for it. It seems our Lord, continually when He addressed this kind of thing, was wanting to produce in His disciples and in every believer a resting, dependent, hopeful, free heart. As we face life and all that it brings to show His sufficiency and His faithfulness. So, let's take out the trash of anxiety. Our Lord says, don't be anxious. It's prohibited. And secondly, I want you to notice in verse 27 what He said. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his stature or a single hour to his life? Worry, He's saying there, accomplishes nothing. Now think about that. When you worry and you're anxious about something, what does that do for the situation you're worrying about? Not a thing. Worry accomplishes nothing. That's what He's saying. Now, whether you translate this adding one hour to your lifespan or one cubit to your height, whether it's an hour or whether it's an inch, worry can't produce anything for you. It can't do anything for you. It can't bring anything to you. Oh, well, the Bible does say it brings one thing. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in one's heart weighs them down. And Psalm 37, verse 8 says, fret not yourself. It tends only to what? Evil. Fret not. It only produces evil, always. It only produces negative. It only produces bad. It only causes you to be weighed down. So, apart from that, it does nothing. It accomplishes nothing. No Christian can produce one drop of change or faith or divine help by ever yielding to anxiety and worry. In this account, Luke, in Luke's version, he tells us, he adds this phrase, if then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, add 1 hour to your life. Now, how make yourself live 1 hour longer. We all think, well, you know, we can do that. We can take care of ourselves and we can really eat healthy and we can extend our lives. Yet the Lord said, this little thing of adding one thing to your life, if you are not able to do as small a thing as that, Luke says, then why be anxious about the rest? Adding 1 hour, growing 1 inch, losing 1 inch, anxiety. He said, you cannot. You can't do something as little as that. You know, that I think that's a great confession of faith. I cannot. I can't do what is beyond my control. I can't change what's out of my hands. I cannot. It's so many things, don't we? We waste worry on. Well, he or she's got cancer. What can you do about it? By worrying about it. The church is having problems and it's declining. What will your fear and worry change one bit about that situation? She's leaving her husband. He's leaving his wife. I might get laid off. Our kids might have to move away. What'll happen to my church? What'll happen to this ministry in the future? What if? What if? What if? Worry. What a waste. Jesus says anxiety accomplishes nothing. Now prayer and faith and obedience to God and praising Him and walking with God and believing in His promises, they accomplish much. But anxiety never accomplished one thing to help the people of God and the Christian in his journey. Not one thing. The Lord said, why do it if it won't add one thing? Then notice in verse 28, the third thing the Lord said. He said something else, and it's in the form of a question. Verse 28. And here He presses in deeper. Why are you anxious? This morning, I could ask one of you, what lately specifically have you been anxious about? And you probably could name it. You know, if there's 100 people here, there'd probably be 200 things quickly that could be named. Right? So let me ask you about yours. The Lord Jesus asked you this morning, why are you anxious? Why? History records that Martin Luther's wife walked in one day in a black dress and a black veil. And he said, "Where are you going?" She said, "A funeral." He said, "Who?" And she said, "God's." He said, "You've been so down in the dumps around here, I was sure that he had died." Now, whatever you're worrying about this morning, at this juncture in your sojourn, why are you anxious? Face it. The Lord here, He stopped preaching and He's gone to prying. He's pressing in and He says, consider and think. Look at the birds. Every bird you see every day is a sermon to you and I directly from your Heavenly Father. Look at the birds. They get fed. Look at the lilies of the field and the flowers. They're dressed better than Solomon ever was. Are you of not much more value? This is divine logic at its best. Paul in Romans 8, he uses the same kind of logic. Remember, he argues from the greater to the lesser. Remember what he says? If God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely then give us all things? Arguing from the greater to the lesser. Here the Lord Jesus argues from the lesser, the birds and the flowers, to the greater, you. Of how much more value is a father's child than the father's natural creation? All to get us to know that anxiety and fear and worry is senseless. So why are you anxious about anything this morning? Why? Well, finally, look at verse 30. The Lord tells us the root and the remedy of worry. I mean, this thing's curable. It's curable. Verse 30. Will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Where does anxiety and worry come from? Unbelief is the culprit. Always. Every time. It's not mama's history that carried over to me. It's not what others did to me. It's unbelief. Not believing what God has said and promised. Now follow this. Fear produces anxiety, right? Fear produces anxiety. So anxiety is the child and the offspring of fear. But fear is the child of unbelief. Anxiety, when you're anxious, when you are worried, it's a new child often born in the heart. But the fear is always its daddy. But unbelief is always a granddaddy. Always. And that granddaddy has lived since the Garden of Eden. Unbelief is the root and cause of all worry. That is, disbelieving the very naked, clear promises of God that He's made to us. And disbelieving all your history, all the way my Savior has led me, all the way Ebenezer, hitherto has the Lord helped us. We can look at our history and see Ebenezers of grace after grace, answered prayer, deliverance after deliverance. How could we ever doubt our Father's faithfulness to take care of us? My goodness! O ye of little faith, the Lord says. Now the Lord told us here it's unbelief, but remember also we see it in the disciples' experience, remember? Matthew 8, the Lord gets in a boat with the disciples and they head out. What does Jesus do? He's tired and He goes to sleep. I remember one time, some of us from Denton rode with Brother Conrad. He won't remember this. From Denton to Sedalia, we rode 10 hours. And we wearied Him so much with questions that He finally fell asleep in the front seat. And He woke up and we had just kept driving and kept asking questions. And finally, after about 7 hours of driving, we hadn't eaten all day, he said, "I'm hungry, stop." Well, in the midst of it, the Lord Jesus goes to sleep. Goes to sleep. And what happens, remember? The storm comes and the Bible says that the waves were covering the boat, overtaking the boat. And they wake Him and what do they say? They said, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." Now they didn't say it that calmly, I'm confident of that. What was His response? What did the Lord Jesus say? What came out of His mouth in response to that? "Why are you afraid, O ye of little faith?" Now I'm afraid I'd have been tempted to beat Peter to the punch. I'd have said, "Now hold on here. You were sleeping too deep or too long. You may not realize this storm's about to sink this boat. And so let me catch you up." Why are you saying to us, why are you asking us if we're afraid? But it was. Now, it's astounding to think about that. Peter in Matthew 14 also, remember he's walking on the water and he begins to sink when his eyes are on the stormy. The Bible says when he saw the boisterous stormy winds, he began to sink. Now you know what? You don't begin to sink. He began to sink long enough for the Lord to reach out and get him. And what did Jesus say to him? "Why did you doubt, O you of little faith?" And this phrase, where the Lord uses little faith all the time, it's one word and it's a noun. It's literally, "O you little face." It's like, "You little man, you little girl." He called the disciples, "O you little faiths. Why do you doubt? Why do you worry? Why do you give in?" The Lord nails down Peter's and our failure when He says this issue is unbelief. And you know, that's His word to us still. In every situation, every dilemma, every crisis, every hardship, every tribulation, every suffering that comes, every unknown certainty about the future, our Lord says to us, "Why are you afraid? Why are you doubting? Can any ship that I'm on sink? Can any word I've given ever fail?" Anxiety must be pushed, put to death, and banished by severing the root of unbelief that feeds it. Unbelief feeds your worry and doubt and anxiety and fears. But there's a remedy for it, and let's be clear. The cure the Lord Jesus gives is the only cure there is. It's trust. It's genuine dependence. It's experiencing the promises of God. Notice what the Lord Jesus says here in this passage. He gives an answer every time about their anxiety, about life's situations. Worries about provision? Your Father feeds the birds. Your Father clothes the fields and you're more valuable. Anxiety about life's needs and pressures? The Lord Jesus said, your Father knows you need all these things. What a promise that is. Your Father, our Father knows we have need of all these things. What comfort is that promise? What sweet comfort that statement, that sentence gives. Your Father knows that you have need of everything. He knows. And Luke adds that wonderful verse. Remember, "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." What a thing that is. Just think of it. "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's heart." Your Father's heart, His good pleasure, His desire is to give to you all things that relate to life and godliness in the kingdom. Everything. The whole shooting match is always going to be yours. And that's why Jesus said at the end of this, "Seek first the kingdom." And what? All these things will be added to you. Now I don't have time to stay on this, but how much we need this to sink in. The remedy to kill anxiety is seeing the faithfulness and the truthfulness and the goodness of God our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ our Lord toward us. And believing it. Really believing it. Believing the promises, all He's promised you. The Bible says not one word of all His good promises have fallen to the ground. And we sing it, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. He is the answer to every situation that you will ever be anxious about. You know, I might get laid off. Fear tries to come. What's the answer to that? Your Father? Your Father. Well, I don't know about our future provision until death. It doesn't look like we have enough to make it. What's the answer to that? Your Father knows you have need of all these things. What about my children's future and my grandchildren's future in where America is heading? I fear dying and leaving them here. You are tempted to think. The answer is, your father knows. What about marriage? What if I don't meet the right one to marry? Your Father, that's in His hands. What about, I fear battling a painful sickness and being a burden to my children, and I just don't know if death is a great reality, and I don't seem to face it with confidence and assurance. And sometimes nobody knows, but I dread dying, and I don't know if I'm ready. Your Father knows what you have need of. Everything. What if my parents die? What if they forsake me? If my father and mother forsakes me, the Lord will take me up. God says that. Begone unbelief. Be gone unbelief. My Savior is near. And for my relief will surely appear. Just think of it. Our Lord Jesus Christ wants every one of His children to banish and have done with anxiety and unbelief and fear and worry. It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And what does Paul say the kingdom is? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit and much, much more. So this morning, why are you anxious? The greatest thing you might could do this day or this weekend or this week is get alone with Him and be honest with yourself and your heart and note in your mind or on paper every single thing you're worried about. And the Bible says, casting all your anxieties, all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He wants them. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. John Wesley wrote a great hymn about this. Let me just share it with you. He said, "Give to the winds thy fears. Hope, be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears and shall lift up thy head. Through waves and clouds and storms, He gently clears the way." You've seen Him do that, hadn't you? Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. And His power can do what no other power can do, including anxiety. "Still heavy is thy heart, still sinks thy spirit down. Cast off the world. Let fear depart. Bid every care be gone. Though thou rulest not, Yet heaven and earth and hell proclaim God sitteth on the throne and ruleth all things well. Think of that. This morning, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the sovereign God of the universe, who created the trillions of stars that are out there and gave them all names and calls them all by names, He has your life in His watchful, intimate, loving care, and nothing shall ever touch you except what His grace and goodness plans for His glory and your goodness. You, if you're a child of God, you have nothing presently or in the future ever to fear. Nothing. Nothing. Wesley ends up saying, far, far above thy thought, His counsel shall appear. When fully He the work hath wrought that caused thy needless fear. Thou seest our weakness, Lord. Our hearts are known to Thee. O lift Thou up the sinking hand and confirm the feeble knee. Let us in life and death Thy steadfast truth declare and publish with our latest breath Thy love and guardian care. Why should I worry? Why should I fear? Why should I fret? I've got a mansion builder who ain't through with me yet. He's not through with you either. What are you anxious about? Let Him have it. I want us to sing a hymn. Could we sing one that I think really is on my heart on this? Let's just sing and apply this to our hearts and tell unbelief and anxiety to be gone. 262. 262. In the blue? That's all right. We enjoyed that refrain. That's all right. I'm not worried a lick about it.